listening to The Kirk Collins Show.
Live in Los Angeles, California, I am so excited because The Kirk Collins Show is back. That is right, we are back. Oh my gosh, how I've missed you all so, so much. So you might remember that I had my own morning show, Morning Wood. Wake up with Morning Wood. I know I do. For 2 years, it started out originally as a podcast, and I loved it. It was on the Sprecher app, and then I started my own radio station, Daily Wood Radio, and it was really an amazing journey, and I learned so much. And then the radio station ended in February, and I was lost. I was lost. I was sad. I didn't know, well, what can I do next? You know, I was like, I learned all these skills. I had my own show, and then I felt like, dun, 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 it was all over. And so I was feeling really defeated. But recently, I have been watching Gutsy Women on Apple Plus, which is by Hillary Clinton and Chelsea Clinton, and it's an amazing show. And you know what? It reminded me that if this is your passion, if this is what you love doing, then why are you not doing it? And I thought, you know what? That's right. I learned how to do all this stuff, and I learned how to edit audio and make shows and everything. So I was like, you know what, Kurt? Why don't we just try to get back on it? And here I am, back on it. And so The Kirk Collins Show is back, and I'm really excited because I'm going to work really hard to have guests, make video podcasts, right? And just fun little clips online that I post, and let's just see where we go, right? Let's just see what this morphs into as my new journey begins. So I'm excited to be back, and let's just go. Today is Mental Health Tuesday, and you know, if you know me, you know mental health is really important. Lately, I've been struggling with it. I still have anxiety, which is like craziness, because if you knew me prior to 2020, I didn't have anxiety. And those were the days, right? Those were the days. And now I have anxiety, but I have a lot of tools to manage it. And so, you know, I've been struggling with feelings of not feeling good enough, or like I don't fit in, or I'm just not sure what I'm supposed to be doing. And then, you know, it causes me to be really anxious on a day-to-day basis. I'm like stressed out. And so, you know, I've been working to just keep doing deep breathing and reading. I've been reading this book called Bigger Than Us, The Power of Finding Meaning in a Messy World by Ferdinand Cotton. And it's been really, really helpful and insightful. And I'm about halfway through, so I'm cruising through it. And, you know, I have other tools. I use yoga, running, runyon. I love to go hiking. So hiking has been my biggest outlet. And I think being in nature, being able to listen to my music or whatever it is, just to decompress for an hour where you're like, okay, I'm out in the sun and I'm sweating and I'm just gonna give it my all, right? And so it helps take my mind off things, and I practice mindfulness when I am at runyon, and I practice what it feels like. What does it feel like when I'm stepping here, or what, you know, I'm looking around and I'm looking at each branch and I'm evaluating it, and just notice all the little things that you don't really pay attention to on a daily basis. So I find that that helps slow things down for me and kind of bring me back to center. And it's been really, really helpful. Demi Lovato has a song called 29 that came out, and it threw me for a loop. I was like, first, I thought it was really well done. She really came up with a song that, you know, kind of tells her story. So at 17, she dated a 29-year-old. And which, you know, 17, you're almost what they consider an adult. But I think it's funny because I never thought people just at 18 magically turn into an adult, right? You legally are, but like for myself, I don't think I really matured until I was about 20, 21. And then even that might be questionable, right? I'm still learning, maturing as we speak, and I'm in my mid-30s. But so, you know, the question of when does someone become an adult? When does somebody understand the ramifications of their actions? And that's kind of, you know, what she's talking about. And she realized when she turned 29, she would never go for a 17-year-old. And so it kind of aligns with my own story, because when I was 15, I dated a 21-year-old. And you know, at first you might be like, that's not too bad. But, you know, think about 15. I was, you know, living in Sockville, Wisconsin. Being gay was not anything what it is today. It's not like it was acceptable. Ellen came out and she was canceled, right? All these things. So it was a very different world we were living in. And I hated being gay. I grew up Catholic. I was always taught that being gay was wrong and basically that you're going to go to hell. And so the first gay person I met was this guy named Kevin, and he was my manager at the Sockville Dairy Queen. And I was in love. I thought for sure, like, we're going to spend the rest of our lives together. He was my first kiss, my first everything, right? First holding hands with another guy, first sex, first everything. And, you know, I didn't see anything wrong with it at 15. I thought it was amazing. I was like, this is amazing. I found somebody who loves me for who I am. And that's not something I had. My family was not supportive of me. I did have some friends that were supportive, but it still was very weird, right? Being gay at that time and figuring it out. And I spent a lot of time not wanting to be gay and practicing everything I could to not be gay, pretending like, oh, I'm straight, or I'd study the other guys at school and try to do what they were doing or act like they were acting or walk like they do. But it just was always a big failure for me because it wasn't true to myself, right? And so I'm dating this guy. It's 15. My parents, you know, find out, and they were very, very mad. And what I thought was they were just mad because I'm gay, right? So they were just trying to prevent me from being happy. And I'm like, I found this guy who I love and I want to be with for the rest of my life. And they tried everything to stop us. They put a restraining order on him. But whatever they did, it didn't matter because I still would sneak out of school and I'd go see him. I would sneak out of the house. I remember one time my parents called me in as a missing person because he had taken me to Chicago. So think about it, though. So I'm 15. I don't have much money. I'm working at Dairy Queen. And this guy has a car and no curfew. And he can do whatever he wants to do. And so I just thought, this is amazing. I was like, this is what I want, right? I'm like, and I thought that, like, I was an older soul. I was for sure thought I was mature. I was like, you know, an older 15, right? I was like, oh, I always liked hanging out with adults. I'm like, that's what I thought. But looking back, I had no idea about anything in the world. And I was definitely not mature. I was, you know, from a small town who never left and had very little life experience. And I had a lot of issues to deal with religion. I had a lot of issues to deal with how my family treated me. And I had a lot of issues how I perceived myself. And so it just was a mess, honestly. So we dated from 15 to 18. We broke up. We were engaged at one point, actually. And the problem came when I turned 21 and I realized I've never dated a 15-year-old, right? Like, what? Okay, what world would I date a 15-year-old? I wouldn't. There was nothing about a 15-year-old that I found attractive or that it would make me want to date them, right? So that was the first time I kind of realized that something was wrong. I still didn't quite, you know, I remember my dad always would say he was a pedophile, all this stuff, and I told my dad, you know, you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. He's not a pedophile. You know, it's just we love each other and we're meant to be together and all this stuff. And I don't think, you know, I even realized at that time that he was a pedophile. I just thought, you know, I would never date a 15-year-old. So years go by and he keeps dating 14 and 15-year-olds. And I found out later, many families had to have restraining orders against him, which is just crazy to me. And I was about 28 when I got a text message from my aunt, and she's like, did you see the news? And I'm like, no, what? She sends me an article, and it's like, Kevin Matuszek has been arrested, Sheboygan alderman. So he was an elected official at this point, and now he's in his 30s, and he was still going after 14, 15-year-olds. In this case, it was a 14-year-old boy. I was mortified, to say the least. The news organization started contacting my parents because they found the record of my parents trying to put a restraining order on Kevin when I was 15. And it was really, really difficult because, you know, then I really realized the gravity of the situation, and I realized I had dated a pedophile. I dated someone who has some issues, more than I thought. And not only that, but I could have stopped the whole thing, and I did nothing. I did worse than nothing. I lied for him. I lied every time the police, I would have hickeys up and down my neck, and I would tell the police, no, that's all we did, right? Because a hickey is not illegal. It was an act of sex that'd be illegal. So I would always lie and say we never did anything. And he would always coach me through it, actually. You know, he'd tell me exactly what to say to the police. And I did it. So basically, you know, I carried around a lot of guilt because I realized, like, I could have stopped this guy years and years ago. But instead, I kind of aided and abetted him, right? I allowed it to go on because I wasn't really strong enough to see how wrong the situation was. And it's still really hard for me today. You know, the other day I was sitting at a salon getting my hair done, and the song Hero by Enrique Iglesias comes on, and I just start crying while this lady's doing my hair. And then I was really embarrassed because I'm like, I should not be crying, you know, like, it just, there's so many emotions that come with it, because that was our song, and I really believed at that time that he was my hero. He came along when I needed someone to the most, and he loved me in a way that my parents weren't able to. It was wrong, that's for sure, but at the time, to me, it was the greatest love I could have ever experienced and felt. So, you know, that song is really hard for me because I could still remember him, like, whispering it to me and me believing that he was actually my hero. Is that crazy? So I think this leads us into our next, what I want to talk about with Britney Spears, because Britney Spears posted this terrible thing on her Instagram yesterday saying, I found there was only one way to look thin, hang out with fat people. She goes on to say, I could have chosen the nannies for my children, my dancers. I mean, if I had Christina Aguilera's dancers, I would have looked extremely small. I mean, why not talk about it? Don't you think my confidence would have been a bit better if I could choose where I lived, ate, whom I called on the phone, dated, and who was on stage with me? It's hard sometimes now, I see how much of my womanhood was stripped away at that time, and every person sat back and didn't say a thing. Anyways, I'll be here talking about things people never talk about. So, Britney is making a valid point. Of course, you would have more confidence if you were able to have a say in your life and your body and your money. That is given. But, because of all those things happening to you does not give you a right to go and fat shame people, to be rude to Christina Aguilera and her dancers, and I think it shows that you really still have a lot of healing to do on your own from all the trauma, which is okay, because everyone heals from trauma in different ways. But I feel like somebody like you, Britney Spears, who's so positive, and your music brings such love and happiness into everyone's lives, for you to make this post that's so negative and mean to other people is not helpful. I think your point is valid. Of course, you should have had the rights over what you ate, who you called, who your kids' nannies were, what you did with your money, what you did with your time, who was on stage with you. All that is valid. But you lost me when you're fat-shaming people, and then you bring Christina Aguilera's dancers in and fat-shame them and Christina Aguilera, and I think it was really, really rude, really wrong, and sad. Really sad. And I love you, Britney. I really love you a lot, but this is hard. This one is really, really, you know, crossing the line. And, you know, they say hurt people, and so I think that's kind of where we're at. But I just hope you see the negativity you brought with this post and think about it. Your point is valid, but the way you're going about it is not right. It's really hurtful, I think. It's really, really sad. So, what else is going on in the world? Melanie C has a new book coming out here in America. It's called The Sporty One. And I'm so excited and sad at the same time because she's coming to America at the same time that I'm going to Greece. What are the chances? Honestly, what are the chances? I'm like, how are we role reversing? She's coming from Europe. I'm going to Europe. Oh, she's going to be in LA and I'm really sad. I'm like, no. Out of all the time, I haven't left the States ever, barely. And then I leave and Melanie C's coming, so it's just not meant to be at this time, I guess. But I'm really excited. I pre-ordered my edition, my signed edition, and should be arriving soon. So, new book by Melanie C coming out this summer. I want to talk about what has happened. So, about 2 weeks ago, I went to San Diego and I was the kickball leader. No, kickball captain. And we were the Spicy Girls. It was my first time being captain of the kickball team, and it was so much fun. It was really nerve-wracking because I was really scared. I'm like, Kurt, are you gonna fuck everything up? You know, my main criteria to putting a team together was to have a fun team, and that's really where we succeeded. That was, we had a team that was so much fun. We all got along really well and just enjoyed each other's company and partied the house down each day. We did not win, but we had a lot of fun losing. That's when you know when you like people, right? That's really when you know. I'm still working at Gym Sports Bar and Grill. Kind of trying to figure out, you know, how I can, what I can do next, right? I had a really good job interview about a week ago, and I didn't even know how much I wanted it until I got there and saw, you know, I was like, it's a casual atmosphere, a flexible schedule, a good amount of money. I was like, wait, this job would be perfect for me. I didn't get it only because the person who was going to leave did not leave. So I think that's okay. I'm not mad at that, but it gave me hope that, you know, I'm going to find the right job for me and be able to use my skills in whatever position I land in. And yeah, I'm excited. I did get another job downtown LA, and then it was crazy. They were not going to pay me very well. There was no flexibility. And then on top of it, I found out the owner of the company was one of Trump's best friends. I was like, no, absolutely not. This is where I draw the line. And so I did not take the job. But it did boost my confidence because, I mean, literally probably about 10 minutes after my second interview, maybe my third interview, I don't even know. They messaged me and they're like, you know, we want to extend you an offer. So, you know, it was a good confidence boosting experience knowing that I still have the skills to get a job and people, you know, still want me to work for them. So that was pretty great. And politics coming up. We have the midterm election. Woo! I talked to one of my friends recently and she didn't even realize the midterms were around the corner. When I was like, oh, are you ready for the election? She was like, oh, is Joe Biden already up for? I was like, no! I was like, the midterms. So this is something we all need to be, you know, thinking about, talking about, and making sure we're all registered to vote. We know who our representatives are. So what is important on the midterms? It is keeping the House of Representatives. The House of Representatives we have to vote for every 2 years. Every 2 years. And historically, the turnout is not there on a non-presidential election year, right? Which is this year. So we need to turn that around. We need everyone to vote. We need everyone to be registered to vote. We need to know everyone to know what is going on. It is of the utmost importance that we keep the House of Representatives in the Democratic control. Because if we do not, Kevin McCarthy, who is crazy as hell, Marjorie Taylor Greene, all these crazy people are going to have their voices amplified to another level. And beyond that, we're not going to be able to get anything else done on President Joe Biden's agenda. And so that's unacceptable because we have a lot at stake. Roe versus Wade. We need to codify it. We need more senators elected. Wisconsin, you need to get Ron Johnson out of office. You need to make sure that Tony Ivers is reelected as governor. And you need to do your best, wherever you live in Wisconsin, to vote for the Democrat running in your area, in your district. So you need to know who it is. And make sure you find out who your representatives are. Make sure you're registered to vote. And vote.org is a really good resource that will help you know, like, where to vote, when to vote, who to vote for, right? Like, it will let you look up who's on the ballot and all that. So vote.org. Make sure you take some time to just check it out and make sure you talk about it with your friends. Hey, are you ready for the midterms? Simple as that. at least then it might spark something in them, you know, like, oh, I didn't even know that was happening. So, you know, like, some people are not paying attention every day to politics, and that's okay. I wish I could be that way. But we need those people still, and we need you to pay attention, because what is at stake is so important. And so I'm begging everyone to make sure you're registered to vote for the upcoming midterm elections, November. But you need to make sure you're registered now, because a lot of states do not allow same-day registration and all that. So make sure your registration is up to date. Vote.org has all the information. And then take some time to get educated. Know who your representatives are. Know who's running for office in your district. And make sure, you know, your views align with theirs, and that you're voting for a candidate who is going to help hopefully bring America forward into a better position as we go into 2023, right? Amen, amen. So this was my first, you know, step back at podcasting, doing a video podcast, all that. Talked about a couple random little things, and hopefully I'll be able to get a guest coming up soon on future episodes, and we'll just talk about different things that are going on in the world. And I just want to thank you for listening. It feels amazing to be doing this again, and I'm lucky, right? Because as a kid, I always dreamed of having my own talk show. And I've already fulfilled that dream, mind you, with the Kirk Collins Show podcast and Morning Wood radio show. So I feel lucky that I was able to make those dreams happen, even though, you know, they didn't last and they didn't take me to become a millionaire or whatever. You know, I made a decision to do those shows, and I did it, and I fulfilled a dream of mine. And I think that is what this is about, is still fulfilling my dreams and proving that you can make your dreams come true, like Hillary and Chelsea have been proving in the Apple show Gutsy. You can make your dreams come through. You just have to work really hard at it and keep trying and trying and trying. And when you fail, you get back up and you try and you try and try again. And so RuPaul always said, so we fall before we stand. And I think that is one of the truest lessons we all have learned in our lives. We used to have to learn how to walk, right? When we were kids, and it probably fell a couple times. But now look, we can walk and not even think about it. Walk and chew gum at the same time, sister. Right? There you go. So I hope everyone has a great day. Thanks for listening. Take a little time to enjoy the view, right? Spend some time in nature, being mindful, and just doing what you can for your mental health that feels good. So trying something new is always great. Reading a book, meditating, yoga, running, whatever it is that, you know, makes you feel good. Call a friend that you haven't talked to in a long time and just catch up. And that, I think, brings a sense of belonging and love and realizing we're part of nature. We're all connected, and the people in our lives, that they matter so much, and they bring us a lot of happiness, a lot of love, and, you know, everyone's just a phone call away, so don't forget that. I love you, everyone. Take care. Thanks for listening, and have a great day. Mwah.